3, verse 13. Hebrews 3, verse 13 reads like this: "But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." And I would like to, the title this morning is Encourage Your Brother. I've been thinking a lot about this, the dark world that we're living in. I talk to different people that are pretty discouraged, and with the United States and other areas. And so I'd like to just look a little bit what the Bible has to encouragement. Encourage your brother. And the word exhorting there means cheering the other one, urging the other to move ahead, to press toward the mark. It means give encouragement. And I'm thankful this morning for the brotherhood that I'm able to be encouraged by all of you. And we know there's a lot of discouraged people around us. Y'all know how the, just think a little bit about encourage your brother. Y'all know what a baseball team is like. And you're trying to cheer people on. Maybe it's a team that's losing. And maybe it's just your son or someone else that you're kind of wanting to get ahead on your team. And you're there, the dads are just watching the children play, and maybe the boy hit a pretty good baseball and it went pretty far out, and we're trying to encourage him to keep going, run to the next base. And we might just tell him to keep going, run faster, keep going. And then maybe someone threw the ball back and we tell him to turn around and go back. That happens pretty often too, but we're all on the same team, cheering each other on to the finish line, and that's heaven. Are we that excited about our brothers and sisters making it to home, to glory? Verse 13 there it says, "But encourage one another daily." Why should we encourage? Isn't it because we get weary of the fight? And also, so that none of us may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. I think this morning, if we get discouraged long enough, it's easier to sin when we get discouraged in our thoughts and actions. So we want our brothers and sisters to be an encouragement to us. I'd like to look at Hebrews 10, a few pages, 10, verse 25. It says, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." Let's not give up meeting together. We know some people would rather not go to church to be with their brotherhood. But let's encourage one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching. And we all know that it's lots of wickedness, and the world seems to be getting darker. So we must have a bright light, the light of Jesus Christ in us. And then we want to talk to our brothers and sisters. It's pretty clear that the Bible wants us to encourage one another. It's not an option, it's a command. I'd like to just go over to Romans 12. I'd like to read a few verses there. Romans 12, verse 6. I I'll read verse 6 through 8, Romans 12, 6 to 8. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. God considers giving encouragement so important that he gave some special gifts for it. If giving encouragement is your gift, then you have an extra measure of the ability to encourage others. But even if it's not your strong point, I believe we all still are commanded to encourage. Apostle Paul understood encouragement. He used it freely in his opening remarks in his letters, and I'd like to just look at a few of those. In 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 1, the first few verses here, Paul called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you, and peace from God, our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. There he said, I thank my God always on your behalf. He used those cheer on words. I thank my God for you. Colossians 1. There it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints. He encouraged them by affirming their faith. He wanted them to be faithful. I believe he loved his brotherhood. Philippians 1, starting there at verse 3, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer in mind for you, all making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day unto now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. He assures them of their worth and value to himself and also to Christ. Then in 1 Thessalonians, first few verses there, verse 2, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. He praised the Thessalonians for their work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope. We see encouragement was very important to Paul. Now I want to look at a few points here. How does one encourage another? How does one encourage another? And I believe, first of all, it's through words. Check your words. Do they make for peace? I want to read a verse in Ephesians. Ephesians 4, verse 29. It says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Are we ministering grace to the ones that we are talking to? Christians need to evaluate their words carefully. Are they words that encourage my brother on? Like Paul used words of affirmation in Philippians, I thank my God every time I remember you. I'm not sure if I can, I think of you a lot, pray for you a lot, but I'm not sure if I pray for you every time I think about you, just like Paul did. And I believe this is a good use of our cell phones. We can pray for people. We can encourage. If you know someone's in need for some encouragement, send them a message. How does one encourage another? Number two, use the person's name with a firm handshake. I want to turn to 3 John, talk a little bit about that. 3 John, verse 14. It says, but I trust I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be to thee. Our friends salute thee. Greet the friends by name. And as a young person, having an older person say your name and shake your hand, I remember that meant a lot to me. You feel loved and accepted. And with a church this size, it's difficult sometimes to have all the children by name, but I'm working on it. Greet the friends by name. The third point, how does one encourage another? Encourage through compassion. Use words that show that you care. Be open and understanding to the hurts of others. Be sympathetic to their grief and sorrow. When you're willing to listen to other people's hurts without speaking your own needs, I think we all have needs, but if we're willing to listen to other people's hurts without speaking your own needs, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. That's always been a challenge to me. Number four, how does one encourage another? Encourage through an act or deed. Y'all remember the story of the Amalekites. Joshua and his men fought the Amalekites while Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill where Moses held up his hands. As long as Moses' hands were up, they were winning. Israel was winning. When Moses' hands were tired, they put a rock underneath his hands. Then Aaron and Hur held up Moses' hands to a dart. With the act of encouragement, cheering on, and holding up Moses' hands, Joshua won the battle. I think God still uses people to help encourage people today as well. Today, believers are in many spiritual battles. They are up against the wiles of the devil. Let's be lifting our brothers and our sisters up. Maybe you're struggling to have a regular, meaningful, devotional life. With a busy life, sometimes we get that can be a struggle to us. Like Moses, acknowledge you have a need to a brother or sister. And then be accountable to another person. That's been helpful to me as well. Because it's when you have someone that's accountable, you make sure it happens. Number five, how does one encourage another? A sincere smile can be a real big encourager. I've been encouraged many times with a smile from another. You see, it takes 66 muscles to frown and 12 muscles to smile. So really, it's easier to smile. It gives encouragement, and also it looks better. So let's smile. Number six, how does one encourage another? Encourage through prayer. Think of all the unsaved around you. Appeal to God on behalf of them. This morning, it's not God's will that any should perish. Pray with him or her on the phone if you can't meet with your friends. And that's been a real encouragement to me. Now I'd like to look at a few points here. Why should we encourage? Why should we encourage? First, believers should encourage unbelievers to take the first step of faith by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and trust the Lord as their Savior and sin forgiver. Encouragement also means helping others submit to Jesus. The second reason why we should encourage, to build up the body of Christ within the church. Members are to encourage others to be rooted and grounded in love. We are to be cheerleaders and urge others on, becoming strong in Christ. Thankful too for the brotherhood that we have to be able to do that. Third reason we should encourage. We should encourage others on to a meaningful work life. Jesus said, "Work till I come, not to be idle." Let's encourage others to be successful in being parents. Encourage others to be successful in providing for their families. Encourage others to be successful and good, honest business person. We live in a world that a lot of people are not honest in business. I had to think about that little, I had a little first grader years ago that after I shot a deer, I think it was a 4-point, and that was illegal. And of course, it was about dark, and I thought it was a doe, but it was a 4-point. Went out there to look at it, and I was trying to think what's the best thing to do here. And of course, a lot of things cross your mind. Should we shoot the antlers off, or what should we be doing? And yeah, that was when I think Randa was around 6, that we were walking behind down around back, and he just said, "Dad, whatever we do, we've got to be honest." So that was that was an encouragement to me. So we called Kurt Heisler, and he said, "If you shoot an illegal deer, you can't have it." So we took it to town, and someone else had that one. But so children can be encouragers, young and old. In everything we do, let's be faithful because the Lord is coming back very soon. I read a story of someone who had a wooden silo next to the barn. And each fall, when the corn was ready, they would harvest. They would chop the corn, just blow it in from the top where it was. After a while, there was more pressure and settling on the bottom. The pressure was so much that it caused the old silo to start leaning. It was in danger of falling over. So guess what? There was a quick propping up project put in action. All the neighbors came together, and the old silo was given support with props around it. Don't we all need props propped up sometimes in life? We all lean. Don't we feel sometimes the load and load after load of pressure of life settling in? I think God wants us to help the leaning people in our lives. Sometimes that's ourselves. I think as Christians in today's world, we can't afford to be without our brother. So thankful, too, that we can have an open brotherhood. We can talk about our devotional life. What about our phone time? Can we be open with our brotherhood? Very good and convenient, but are we spending idle time with our phones? Maybe you're a father that's struggling with a rebellious child. Let's get behind him with honest, caring understanding. Tell him to hang in there. Or maybe it's a discouraged mother with the routine. Help her see past the little tots messing up the living room floor to seeing little humans being moved up the ladder into young and women, young men and women who become tomorrow's leaders. It's very easy to let things slide or slip when things get busy. The church can preach, the school can teach, but the homes must convert sermons and lessons into the way of life. Let's remember that as we go through our lives. The church can preach, the school can teach, but the homes must convert sermons and lessons into the way of life. Now, I'd like to read one passage here, 1 Thessalonians 5. It's been a very blessing to me recently. I'd like to read the whole chapter and have a few more points in closing. 1 Thessalonians 5, 1 to 28. First of all, in verse 27, it says, I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. And I think it's a good chapter that we should read. Then I want to see a checklist for encouragers. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 1. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day which overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together, and edify one another, even as also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you, and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient to, toward all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit, despise not prophecies, prove all things, hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. This morning we're in a race. We're in a battle. Let's encourage each other to win the race, faithful to the end. I like to look at verse 11. And there's a few points. I have a checklist for encouragers. Verse 11, build each other up. Point out to someone a quality you appreciate in him or her. Verse 12, give honor to leaders. Leaders are human. Look for ways to cooperate. Verse 13, give wholehearted love. Say thank you to your leaders for their effort. Verse 13, avoid quarreling. Search for ways to get along with others. Verse 14, comfort the fearful. Encourage those that are fearful by reminding them of God's promises. Verse 14, tenderly care for the weak. Support those who are weak by loving them and praying for them. Also verse 14, practice patience. Think of a situation that tries your patience. Then plan ahead of time how you can stay calm. Verse 15, resist revenge. Do good to the ones that mistreat you. Verse 16, rejoice. Remember that even in the midst of turmoil, God is in control. Verse 17, pray continuously. This morning, God is always with you, so talk to him. Verse 18, be thankful. Make a list of all the gifts God has given you, giving thanks to God for each one. Verse 19, do not smother the Holy Spirit. Heed the Spirit when he prompts you. Verse 22, keep away from evil. Avoid situations where you will be drawn into temptation. Verse 23, count on God's constant help. Let's realize that the Christian life is to be lived, of course, not on our own strength, but through God's power. I seen on the bulletin this morning, it had, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Let's kneel for prayer. Dear God, thank you for this beautiful Lord's Day morning you gave us. Thank you, Lord, for health and strength. And thank you that we're able to get about and come to church and worship you. And thank you, Lord, for the peace and quietness we can have in this land. Pray that it would continue according to your will. And thank you, Lord, for your word, that we can read it, and pray that we would apply it to our lives as we go about our lives this week. Pray that we would be an encouragement to each other. We're all in different phases of life. Some are older, some are younger, and might have different struggles. And pray that we'd be tuned in to each other so we know what each other's doing so we can pray with them. And most of all, pray that we would love you, Lord, stay focused on you, and we know that you will come back shortly. Most of all, that we'd be ready to meet you. And thank you, Lord, for each one here. Bless them, the visitors. We're thankful to have them here. Just give us all strength, Lord, to do your will this week. In Jesus' name, amen.